Have we grown, or have we become complacent? Have we allowed ourselves to lose that first love? All right, now more personally, end of another year. What kind of year has this been for you? Has it been a good year for your business? Has your business done well? Or your job, your work? Did you have a good job? Did your work go smoothly? Everything go pretty well for you? How about socially? For the ladies, you probably evaluate your year more socially. But it could be for us too. How would you evaluate this past year, 2018? Did you meet new people? Did you reconnect with old friends? Did you have an inspiring year that way, socially? Or maybe look back on this year and say that it was a good year. We went different places. We saw different things, completed tasks that we had maybe always wanted to do. Sometimes call this a bucket list. Maybe you checked off a number of things on your bucket list. Did you conquer new challenges? I think these are all things that we look back on the year and we decide if we did some of these things or not. What is the standard that we measure the past year by? You know, in some ways for myself, I think I was probably worse off at the end of this year than I was beginning of the year. Maybe for some of you as well, maybe your job situation might be a little shaky or don't know what's going to come up. Maybe we lost time and income. I know for Ellen, you probably would say that didn't have a very good year. You lost everything, basically, in your house fire. So we would say, well, there's many things that we can look at how we evaluate this past year. Maybe we lost our health. Maybe lost someone through death. But, you know, loss isn't always a bad thing, and we shouldn't let loss define us. It just is, as we look back on a past year and there's some bad things that happened or maybe some losses, whatever, it should help us to reset our focus and rearrange our priorities. You know, there's three things that we can look at, and three things that we want to make sure are in the right order. We need to live for God, love people, and like things. And as we go through the year, sometimes these kind of shift the priorities that we have. Maybe sometimes we might, our relationship with people might take precedent, or probably quite often our liking for things can take precedent as well. And as we come to the end of the year, I think it's a good time for us to reset and again put our priorities in the right way so that we can live for God, love people, and like things. And I'm not sure how much we need to like things, but that's part of, we need things to live, of course, but they need to be in the right place, and this isn't what this message is about. But like I said, we need to look back over the year, and if there has been losses and disappointments, this is a good time for us to reset. We know that if we have suffered, it's probably for our good. Suffering is good for many reasons, because of who wills it and the fruit it brings and the lessons it teaches. 1 Peter 1, verse 6 says, "Wherein greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." then also verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And I think we quickly realize that our suffering or anything that we face is pretty mild, pretty weak compared to what Christians in the past have faced. For them, often being tried with fire was a literal event or a literal trial. And our suffering, it feels real to us, and it is. But it's usually not a physical suffering as much as what has been in the past then. But if we do face trials, let's allow them to strengthen us and to evaluate our lives. You can turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 if you want. Got a few verses here. This is a common scripture here, Philippians 3, verses 7 to 15. Just look at Paul here. Verse 7 says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything he be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. We'll stop reading there. I think the key for us to look at in these verses is, as we, in relation to this past year, do we focus just on our loss, or was it a loss to gain Christ? If we can use any kind of loss to gain Christ, then I think we are also winning, as Apostle Paul here did. And I think it's a little with trepidation maybe that we look at the new year and realize what God may call us to suffer, to lose, to, so that we can grow closer to him. But I think we all want the perseverance and the stamina to press forward. As we look at these verses here, Paul speaking about pressing toward this mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This, we think of this pressing as a race, and my mind was drawn to those two people that just crossed Antarctica this last week, the American and the Brit. First time that anybody has done that, they did that by themselves, solo, about the same time, but they didn't have any supporting people along. And this would have required stamina. I think one lost 15 kilograms. That's a lot of, just that's the physical pressing toward a mark. And as we think of ourselves, wanting to be able to reach our mark in glory, this will also require us to really put ourselves into it. All right, now again, as we look back over this past year, 2018, what kind of person were you this past year? Are there some regrets? If you were able to do do some parts of the year over again, how would you behave differently? Would you have been more understanding, cared more, been more patient, less critical, more supportive and helpful? This is how, if we look ourselves in relation to others, I think this is for ourselves some things that we would possibly do over. And now our relationship with God. Did our relationship with God flourish this year? Did it grow? Or did our relationship with him just pretty much stay in the same static state that it was before? Or maybe it even went backwards. Some questions we can ask ourselves. Maybe God didn't have a big part to play in our life this past year. Maybe somehow he just kind of slipped in the background. Questions we should ask ourselves at the end of the year, I think. How much did our life reflect the fact that we are his children? So, our performance review. How much did we contribute? How productive were we? How involved were we? As we stand on the threshold of another year, let's look at a short proverb that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 13, verse 6-9. It's just a few short verses here. It's a parable of the fig tree. It says, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. The owner of this fig tree expected fruit on this tree. And this was a reasonable request because this tree had opportunity and it had advantages. This fig tree was in the orchard, or it was in the vineyard. And it was not just out by itself among the pines somewhere in rocky ground, but it was in a place where the owner could expect fruit from it. And it was protected and it was planted. It wasn't just a voluntary growth here, I don't think. It was planted. He asked, why should it remain standing? Why should it continue to take up space? Using up the good soil if there was no return from it. I think God also reviews our performance year by year as well in the same way. He wants fruit from us, and I won't get too much in this. Brother Jerry had a message on that a while ago and been looking at that recently. But as 2018 draws to a close, God sees what has happened in our lives, what our relationships have been like, what our attitudes and involvements have been like. Have we become disconnected like these churches in Revelation that we looked at? And as God looks down on our life, is Jesus saying about us, give this tree one more year? You know, the owner wanted to chop this tree down. It was taking up space, but the gardener said, give me time, I'll dig around it, I'll turn over the soil. It's going to give it some more fertilizer, show it some more gentle care, to give it another chance. Isn't that how Christ works in our life, how the Holy Spirit is prompting us to grow more, and how the Spirit is interceding for us to give it some more time. This brown, hard-baked soil can be done. Something can be done with it. He's going to send some more rain down. In John 15, verse 5, says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Or we could say, paraphrase, or to, it says here, for without me ye can do nothing. It means that if we are severed from him, we can do nothing. So the key here is to be connected to Jesus. He is the one who can enable us to be what we ought to be. We need him to help our branches bear fruit. Or year by, if we don't, year by year, we will be a disappointment. He gave himself for us. You know, the parable of the fig tree makes it clear that we of ourselves will be unfruitful and unfaithful, and we will be rooted out. If the Lord sees fit for time to continue, let's be thankful that we have the promise that we can step into the new year with him by our side. You know, if we would think of ourselves needing to step into this new year with just our own strength and look back at our past record of our own strength, it would be pretty depressing, wouldn't it? We would think of all that we could accomplish of ourselves. It's pretty fleeting and pretty earthly. But I think we can have the confidence that as we face the new year with him, not selfishly, but with his help, we can be optimistic, that we can look forward to this new year knowing that we can live it for him and not be a disappointment to him. So let's be fruitful as we face this new year. Let's kneel for prayer.